Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I am your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you tune in. Thanks so much for telling your friends and family members about this podcast. I'm so glad to see new people tuning in and showing interest in this ministry. Today, we're going to talk about two different allegories or stories or illustrations because, well, metaphor is really the only tool we have to kind of get at spirituality. It's not an empirical measurement, and it's not the same for everybody. And while doctrines and theologies of different religions are helpful, and some people live and die by them, Lord knows I used to, they don't get us there. They're like a map that tells us what the beach is like, but it's not the same as the experience of having your feet in the sand. And that is what I always want for this audience, is to get beyond the frameworks and into an experience. And so today we're going to use two metaphors or two illustrations, analogies to illuminate spiritual reality. And I do this for all comers. If you don't know, my audience is very, very diverse. Probably half of them would describe themselves as Christian or following some kind of mainline religion. But the other half of them are kind of describing themselves as spiritual, but not defined. A good portion of them are agnostic, meaning they just don't know. They're not sure. They have doubts and questions. And a good percentage of them even would say they're atheists. They don't believe that there is a God. And so this kind of content really pushes those boundaries, but it's a necessary message, not just for all comers. It is for all comers because we all need to move from our present position. And I hope that this analogy brings this to light. The analogies I'm going to use today are that of orbits and molting. Orbits and molting. Now, the orbits of our planet, they vary in length. The orbits of our planet is one, but we are part of several planets in a solar system, and each of these planets varies in length. For instance, Mercury is the closest planet, rotates at about 107,000 miles an hour, and takes about 3 Earth months for it to go around the sun. And Neptune, which is our farthest planet, which it used to be Pluto when I was growing up, but now Neptune's our farthest planet, and it's only moving at like 12,000 miles an hour. And it takes 165 Earth years just to make one rotation. And it's all about proximity, isn't it? It's so far away from the sun. And the other Mercury is so close to the sun. And this is the analogy. A spiritual reality, because proximity also has everything to do with our growth within our soul. You see, I don't believe anyone's orbit is so far away that is beyond God's gravitational pull. But we all differ in our proximity based on our orbit. You see, some people move in and out of sacred space, and they do it so rarely that they question whether there is such a thing. They question whether there's any power to spirituality or if it's even real. You see, the sun is very dim from such a distance. It doesn't warm Neptune like it does the moon or like it does the Earth, or certainly not like it does Mercury. Now, others are way too close. And as a result of their spiritual mindedness and their goal of spirituality, they try and get so close, but they end up scorching their humanity in a dualistic split. And these are the people that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. We know who those are. I would say I used to be one of those people. So none of us have the same orbit. None of us come in and out of sacred space at exactly the same time or for the exact same periods of time. And so our perspectives are very different. Some of us are a planet that's very cold. Others, it's burning hot. And others, it's in between. And my work here in this podcast and post is to nudge all orbiters to the optimal distance for life to flourish. You see, fundamentalists have to move back from the source and gain their humanity again and some humility if they are to really live. And skeptics, doubters, they have to move closer, or the coldness will never allow their planet to show any signs of life. And the planet here is our soul. And so the orbit is a great analogy. And like our planets, our spiritual orbits can, and like them, they can change. The orbits can change, but they do so very, very slowly. And so with each correct shift in proximity, when the cold planet moves closer, and when the burning, scorched planet moves back, there is some form of corresponding flourishing to the life that we have. And despite what religion teaches, there is no single framework to find proximity. And I know that's a hard pill for some people to swallow. And I say it a lot, and I know it's hard, but sometimes you just need to hear it over and over until it sinks in. There isn't a single framework to find proximity. And religion says, hey, I have the only cinnamon roll recipe, because they need to say that. It's part of how they create differentiations between all of us, make some innies and some outies, valid and invalid. And we create this duality that just ruins everything. But spirituality is different. It's not about finding the orbit, the right orbit, the correct orbit, the valid orbit. It's about humbly finding our orbit. Knowing ourselves, right? It's only then that we can discover the source of gravity that we are all surrounding. You see, religion is all focused on the orbit. Spirituality realizes the orbit is a byproduct of the gravity that's at the center, the sun, the star, the light that's in the middle. You see, we miss it if we spend our time on our orbit. And that's the problem with religion. That's why the framework is helpful, but it doesn't get us all the way there. None of them can. I'm going to tell you what can in this podcast, so I hope you stay tuned. You see, it's only then that we can discover the source of gravity that we all surround. And certainty within our life means that we are still a far way off. Whether we're too close or too far. Certainty means we're missing it. Now, to access your spiritual orbit, here's what I suggest. Start with anything that you love and go deeper with it. It may be a person, a pet, maybe it's a sport, a hobby, a place, a thing. It doesn't matter. Something that you really love and are passionate about. And at some point, if you follow it deep enough, you'll cross over from the object that you started to go deep with, and you'll enter the subject, the thing that's beyond the thing. This is where you finally obey the first of the Ten Commandments, which is to move away from idolatry. Yeah, if we make the whole thing about our thing and we miss that which is beyond it, then we're an idolater. That's another way of saying it. You see, at some point, if you go deep enough, the object crosses over into the subject. And that's the point where love becomes the motivator. Not fear, not duty. Here, the ride supersedes the means of riding. Right? It doesn't matter if you're on a bike. You start with a bike or a surfboard or a horse or whatever it is. But in the end, you realize it's the ride, not the thing you're riding. Do you see how metaphor gets at this? If I put too many cones and structure down, we miss it. This is that thing that we all kind of know deep down. We intuit it, but the framework fails us sometimes. So if you understand what I'm saying, then you grasp proximity. You get something about your location to the source. And metaphor is really all we have, because proximity is ultimately unsayable. We're trying to talk and use words to describe things that we know can't be said. And if this seems too nebulous or non-specific, if it seems too new agey to you, then you're probably either too close or too far. And the life of your orbit, your planet, it's suffering. And it will probably take more suffering. It may be that suffering is the only thing that can reorient your orbit. So be mindful of that. Everything's connected in a very cosmic sense to what I call the Christ gravity. And this is seen in Colossians 1:17. Right? This is a far bigger, and it predates the narrow portrait given by modern Christianity. This is not, I use the term Christ's gravity, but I am not talking about what we know as modern day Christianity. See, the Christ connects and completes all religions. It's 1 Corinthians 10:4. It transcends all human history, right? And that's really the story here. We're not talking about something that's only 2,000 years ago. We're talking about something that is a part of every human at every time in all of human history. And that's where the Christ connects and completes all religions. It transcends all human history, and it's not limited to just one particular expression. It has many names, and anytime, any person, anywhere, anybody who has proximity to sacred space, it's the Christ gravity at work. And that's the real meaning of John 14:6, which you might know as, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but me." He's not saying only Christians know God or will go to heaven. He's saying that if anybody enters sacred space ever, it's because the Christ did it. That gravity pulled you into it. Now, that's a very different story, isn't it? That means everybody experiences this. There is no exception to it. And we all call it something different. We don't all use the same framework, right? So don't check out because I use the word Christ. What I'm trying to give you is a fresh perspective, not the fear-based religion of behavior modification that's trying to basically captivate you, imprison you into some system that is make you give up your weekends, give up 10% of your money, and get rid of all your friends who don't have a chrome fish on the back of your car. That is not what this is. You see, the Christ is as wide as the universe. It can also be as narrow as Jesus, yes. But let's go wide for the sake of others. You see, compassion, not judgment, meets our resisting, our arguing, our defending, our rationalizing. Right? When you bring up Christ, or you mention the word Jesus, you're going to get resistance. It doesn't matter who you are. In fact, some of you may have already tuned out, and I might have already lost you. Those who are barely hanging on, I hope you'll hear this. That resistance that you have is interesting. You see, our orbit resists the Christ gravity. Pride, it speeds our orbit and creates this tension with proximity. And dying to ourself or a conscientiousness of others, right? Just thinking of others alters our orbit. Humility slows us and allows gravity to take over. I know this is, for some of you, it's just not tactical enough or tactile enough, excuse me. You're wanting something that's, I don't know, more gritty. And I'm purposely trying to stay in this open space so that I can free you. And now let me give you my second analogy. We've talked about orbits. Now let's talk about molting. When an insect molts, it sheds its outer skin because the bug on the inside has basically outgrown it. And prior to molting, the bug won't eat. And sometimes they just hang there near death. The outside, the shell, the skin, it can only constrict the bug for so long. And while it's constricting the bug, it produces this tremendous discomfort, I'm sure, and pressure on the inner being. And, you know, I speak to so many people and have email exchanges with people through this this blog and post and weekly. And people are in all various levels of suck. That's how I like to put it. Some people's lives really suck. They are a result of too many bad decisions that are almost makes life impossible to dig out from, but it's not. And other people are in a different kind of suck, or just a portion of their life is really bringing them pain. And all of our counselors and coaches and pastors and friends, they try their best to extricate us from the suck. I mean, after all, you see somebody who's hurting and you don't want them to hurt. You try and remove them from that thing that is, quote unquote, wrecking their life. But wisdom doesn't do this. See, wisdom drives us into the suck. Wisdom pressurizes our inner being. It grows us and increases the pressure. And if you can imagine the world slightly better than it presently is, and trust me, you read Facebook or anything else, to listen to the news, everybody thinks the world can be better than it presently is. If that's the case for you, then that's an area of your life where you are ready to molt. If you think your church can be better than it actually is, you need to molt. You're outgrowing it. If you think there's something in your relationship that could be better than it actually is, then something needs to change. I'm not saying go get a divorce. I'm saying make a change. Have the conversation. Actually talk about it. If you can imagine the world better than it is, then you're about to molt. Or you need to molt. Because that's pressure. There's an inconsistency with what is and what should be that gives you a sense of internal pain. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so frustrated on the news or reading a Facebook post or whatever it is. We have to shed our outer skin so that our inner being can expand. And the suck is the antecedent to the molting. If you eliminate the suck, you might eliminate the molting. Go through it. Don't go around it. Let's not expend our energy to stay in our small, constricted, external self. Go deeper. Let's go deeper, all of us. Let's find that thing that's growing us and grow more from the inside out. Yes, it's going to mean we're going to get tight. We're going to get constricted. The pain will be uncomfortable, uncertain. But soon we will break free into an expanded new self. And this freedom that I'm talking about, this breaking free into something new, that is called the gospel. Now, don't go check it out because I'm using historically Christian language here. That gospel simply means good news. It's the force of liberation. And it's seen everywhere in human history. And it's known as the Christ force. It's how I call it and understand it. It's how people for centuries have understood it. But strangely, modern evangelical Christianity doesn't seem to know it as such. And it has countless other names. Just check out Luke 4:16. You'll learn all about this thing. It's the opening of the prison door. It's the liberation of the captive. It's the good news to the poor. And it's the year and the proclamation of the Lord's favor. It's amazing. You can break free. I can break free. People are doing it all over the world. Addicts are getting over their addiction. People in oppressive relationships are finding the courage to move on and leave. People who are in dead-end careers that know they could do better, they have enough and they go. This is liberation. And those who have overcome these obstacles are those who have the eyes to see. These are a unique community that inspires all of us. They're the thing that make movies so great. Molting makes great people. If what I'm trying to say is to connect your ordinary, non-spiritual existence to a profound gospel truth, that thing that wants you to become the best you ever is the force of the gospel within you, beckoning you to break out of your little skin. So whether we're in the macro like an orbit or in the micro like in a molting, there's this benevolent force that is urging each one of us into a very deep place. Now, we may call it by different names. That's okay. I call it the Christ force. I call it the gospel. But you can call it something else. Maybe you don't have the same framework that I have. That's okay. You might access it by different means than I do. That's okay too. But we all know it. We all know that we have the still small voice within us. And it knows what is right. It knows what's best for us. And we all know that when we disobey it, our life gets worse. And if we heed it, that we're true to ourselves and life is good. But it's so much bigger than that. You see, the sum of all spirituality is to know this voice and to follow it. And my prayer for all of us is that we may humbly do just that. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you. And I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.